بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Today is the 1st of April in the year 2024 and Alhamdulillah we've completed the second month the 60th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu and I've reached the point where I've mentioned that he's now entered the land of Egypt with the blessed forces and Al-Arish surrendered to him without resistance and he offered a sacrifice on the auspicious day of the 10th day of Zulhijjah, Eid al-Adha. So the next section entitled The Battle of Al-Farama, leaving Al-Arish, Sayyidina Amr radiyallahu, he now moved with his forces westward and arrived at Al-Farama, in which the first battle between the believers and the Romans in Egypt took place. So this is where the first military engagement took place. Subhanallah, it was a fierce and violent encounter that lasted for a month before the believers could finally open Al-Farama for Islam. So, I'm not going to go through much detail through these encounters, but I'll give you the nuts and bolts. So the fact that this encounter lasted for a month shows it was a serious encounter. But Alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala aided the believers. The Roman garrison fought the Muslims whilst all the while waiting for provisions and supplies from Al-Muqawqis, the governor of Egypt, who, however, did not send any and left them to face the Muslims alone. So they were expecting help, but no help came, and they still held on bravely, but to no avail. Al-Muqawqis' strategy was to let the Muslims fight several more battles, thus weakening them for the main encounter, i.e. for which he was now ultimately prepared. So that was his strategy. He knew they were coming for Alexandria, the capital of Egypt. But he thought with these legions that they will engage with, this will weaken the Muslims. So he was all the while preparing for the main encounter. Near Al-Farama was a harbour with Roman ships docking. Fearing that the Romans might use these ships to invade the city, the Muslims wisely burned them. Hence, by doing this, the believers used Al-Farama now as a stronghold to secure the way leading to Palestine and Arabia. So again, Amr, with his brilliance, he was making sure that everywhere Allah Ta'ala was giving them victory, he was securing that land. So because Al-Farama was near a Roman shipping docking area, he burned the ships, i.e. for fear that they might come that way. And Farama now became a stronghold. The next encounter, the Battle of Bildis, and the end of the infamous Ardabun. So in a report, so this is recorded in Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 4, page 227, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 399 to 401 of the New English Translation. Khalid and Ubadah, rahimahumullah, they both related. When Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu returned to Al-Madinah from Ash-Sham, Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu set out for Egypt and reached the gate of Al-Yun, i.e. the name of Egypt in ancient times. So when you hear the word Al-Yun, this is the old name for Egypt. So he set off, he's got to the gate of Al-Yun. Sayyidina Zubair radiyallahu anhu also followed him and both of them assembled there. So here now, Sayyidina Umar has sent Zubair also to help. they met Abu Maryam, the primate of the Egyptian church, and also the bishop of Niyat, who was also called Abu Maryam, who was sent by Mokokis for the defense of their country with the Egyptian army. So what's interesting? The head of the Egyptian church was called Abu Maryam. Don't forget, they were Christians. There was another bishop also, to make things even more, you know, confusing. He was called Abu Maryam. He was sent by Mokokis to encourage the legions. When Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu encamped there, the Egyptians were determined to fight. So they were ready to engage. Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu, however, sent a message to them. So he noticed that they were getting ready for battle. But he sent a message. And what was the message? Do not rush into fighting, and you will be informed about this, after which you will be free to act. Thus, it is in your own interest not to launch an attack. So he's doing something very strange, Amr. Normally, the believers were ready. But why was he now stopping them from engaging? Because of Rasulullah's statement. Because it's in your interest not to engage with us. Therefore, the Egyptians wisely asked their men to stand down. Meaning, let's see what they've got to say. Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu then sent another message, in which he informed them that he himself would visit them for talks with Abu Maryam and the Bishop of Niyat. So Amr ibn al-As said, I myself will come and I would like to speak with the high officials, the bishops. They acknowledged that. He goes, okay. Both forces thereupon declared a temporary truce. So they stood down. On meeting them both, the two Abu Maryams, Sayyidina Amr was scanning, and he said, you are the monks, you are the spiritual authority of this city, so please listen carefully. Allah the Exalted and Sublime, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the truth and commanded him to deliver the truth. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked us to act upon the truth and delivered to us everything which he was commanded sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He then left sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after completing his mission and leaving us on a clear path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's choices, blessings and mercies be showered upon him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So stop in the report. He's now talking to the bishops and he knows they know. Why is he taking Rasulullah's name? Because the Christians, normally he would say Rasulullah, but there's a time where you can mention his blessed name, and this is the time. Then he said to the bishops, it is one of his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's commands that we should try to advise people towards the truth. Therefore, we now exhort you to Islam. Whoever acknowledges this call will be treated like us, whilst those who do not accept this message will then have to pay the jizya, and we will protect such people with all necessary means. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also predicted we will gain victory over you. He then advises to protect you and be kind to you, for we have relations with you and should protect you. Look how beautiful. He's got across to them, you're fighting a losing battle. Rasulullah predicted we're going to win. And he's told us, after we defeat you, we will show kindness to you. Then he said, radiyallahu anhu, our Amir, radiyallahu anhu, had also advised us to treat the Qibtis kindly. For Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked us to be kind to the Qibtis due to the relations with them, i.e. blood ties and family ties. So the priests were listening. They replied, no one other than the known prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, have regard for such far away family ties. She, Sayyida Hajar, radiallahu anha, was the daughter of our king and belonged to Ahlul Manf, who were the ruling family. However, the Ahlul Ain al-Shams kingdom attacked them, killed many of them, seized the kingdom, and the rest of them were forced into exile. Let's stop the report. So the priests, how did they respond to this? They go, sign of Nubuwwat. Think about it. If somebody says to you, you got relations in Egypt, how close are they? Because they have 25 generations back, your line, your lineage, well, they're not really relations. But for the Prophet, they always take that into consideration. So they were stunned, right? He goes, only prophets do this. So he got the look how beautiful, he's getting the message across to them. Then they said something about Bibi Hajar. So this is the problem. Muslims think she was a bondswoman, a slave woman. Was she a slave woman? No, she wasn't. The priest said she was the daughter of our king. She has royal blood. And she belonged to Ahlul Manf. And I'll explain who that is in a bit, inshallah. Ahlul Manf. She belonged to Ahlul Manf. And they were the ruling family. But the Ahlul Ain al-Shams kingdom attacked, killed many of them, seized the kingdom, and the rest of them were forced into exile. So now let's explain who's Ahlul Manf. She belonged, Bibi Hajar, to Ahlul Manf. It is mentioned in Marasid al-Ittila. Manf was the name of the city of the Egyptian pharaoh. Originally, the Qibtis called it Manafa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes reference to it in Surah Al-Qasas, Surah 28, verse 15. What does he say? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. Wadakhala al-Madina. Wadakhala al-Madina. He, Musa, alayhi salatu wa salam, entered the city. Allah Ta'ala mentions it. That city was Manafa. It was Manf. And then he mentions the two men that they were fighting. The Pharaoh's palace and the city's ruins are apparent till this day. So this is where our, you know, the mother of our beloved messenger came from. Right? The Manaf or the Manaf, Manafa. Then the priest said, she then became the wife of Ibrahim. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Indeed, his coming was most welcome, a happy event for this. Please now leave us in peace until we return to you after consultations. So Amr is listening to this, and everything they're saying is spot on. Now, what did they mean, the priests, when they said, she became the wife of Ibrahim, and his coming was very auspicious for this? So there's a long narrative, the relevant part. What happened was, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was with his wife Sada radiyallahu anha. And the Egyptian ruler at the time, he said, he was informed that he's got a most beautiful wife. So the Egyptian king, he said, bring her to me. And then what happened? The guards came, and it was the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was taken. Immediately, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he goes into salah. And Allah Ta'ala is showing him every moment what's happening to his wife. So even though Sada has gone, radiyallahu anha, to the king, he's observing. So anyway, she's brought, quote a long narration short, the king tried to approach with evil intentions. She immediately makes dua. He becomes paralyzed. So he goes, if you supplicate again, I will not approach you. So Sala radiallahu anha makes another dua. He's released. But he starts approaching it again. She makes another dua. He's paralyzed again. This time he says, I will certainly not approach you. Please supplicate again. She makes another dua. This time the king calls his guards, because you brought me a shaitan. And then he said, let her return to her husband, and I will also give her a gift. And who did the king release? The daughter of the king he had defeated, Bibi Hajar. So that's what it means that she was a maidservant, because she was brought and she was lost in battle. Right? And then what happened? The two, and that, all of that is in Sahih Bukhari that I've mentioned. All of this was observed by Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. He was seeing this. Then Bibi Hajar came, and then of course the rest is history. So the priest said, she became the wife of Ibrahim. His coming was most welcome, happy event for us. Because we loved it when he came. Why? Because he released our king's daughter. Have you understood? He released our king's daughter. He goes, now leave us, we will discuss. So the report continues. Amr radiallahu anhu thereupon said, a man like me cannot be deceived. I will give you 3 days and your people to think over. Otherwise, we will have to open up hostilities. So Amr, obviously, he's in battle mode. He goes, don't think you can deceive me. You got 3 days. After that, we will resume hostilities. They begged him to give him more time. Eventually, Amr radiallahu anhu said, I give you 1 more day, 4 days. They again begged him to give him more time. And ultimately, he gave them 5 days. He goes, that's it. You got 5 days to consult amongst yourselves. Thereafter, Amr left back to his force, radiallahu anhu. Both the priests went to Mokawkis, the ruler of Egypt. And they informed him, because this is what's happened. What do you think we should do? He inclined to leniency. But Artabun, the treacherous, he refused to yield. And he asked them, no, we're going to fight the Muslims. Now why is he butted in? Because his history, he was humiliated first by Amr ibn al-As. He fled to Jerusalem. Then when Umar was coming, he fled again. He was humiliated again. Right? He was humiliated all. Now he's in Egypt and he goes, you're going to surrender again? So he was the one who stoked the fire. He goes, no, because we're going to engage with the Muslims. So now, note that Artabun's defeat in Ajnadain and his failure to break the siege in Jerusalem made him restless. He was in a low position, incompatible with his status. Thus his refusal to now see sense due to his pride. Hence his insistence on fighting the Muslims in Bilbis. He also fought in Bilbis, that shaitan. The priests then told the Egyptians, so the priests are listening to the Mokawkis and the Artabun. The priest then told the Egyptians, we will defend you and we will not return at the moment because 4 more days are left. You should not instigate anything in this period. Keep your word. In other words, we've been given 5 days. This is the first. Because we can't engage with the Muslims. Because they've given us 5 days. We must keep our word. However, it so happened that Farqab attacked them at night whilst Amr and Zubair were counting down the days of truce. Thus they fought back and killed him and those accompanying him. Thus Amr and Zubair packed up their belongings and returned to Ain al-Shams. So they broke their word. It wasn't the priests. It was the shaitan who instigated them. There was an engagement, but they were more than ready. And they were defeated. The surprise attack, which day was it? It was on the fourth day. Imagine. So they were given 5 days. On the fourth day, they thought they won't be expecting it. How do we know it's the fourth day? In Tabari in Istarikh, volume 4, page 228, Al Bidayah, Hayat al Sahaba, volume 1, page 401-2 of the New English Translation. When Amr, along with Zubair, encamped at Ain al-Shams, the people of Egypt said to their king, what do you think about a people who have defeated the Khosrows and the Caesar? Both have now been occupied. It is thus better to sign an agreement with such a people and one should not fight them. Indeed, we should not be brought to face them. It is suicide. This was the fourth day. So, stopping the report. So, logically, what did the authority say? Because they've defeated the Persians. They've defeated the Caesar. He goes, what hope have we got? He goes, don't be foolish. And this was the fourth day. He refused to accede to their demands due to Ardabun the treacherous and incited them. Therefore, they fought. Sayyidina Zubair radiallahu thereupon managed to climb the wall of the fortress. Thus, their fortified perimeters were now breached. So Zubair radiallahu, he's thinking, I'm going to breach them. I'm waiting for the days to clock down and then we're going to attack. And he managed to breach. When they came to know about this, they quickly opened the gates of the fort for Amr and came out for the treat, which he graciously accepted. So they thought, we've been breached, quickly go to Amr. And they goes, yeah, we're willing to surrender. They signed an agreement, and Zubair, upon hearing of the turn of events, descended from the wall along with his force. So what's happened? Very similar thing happened where? Which I haven't mentioned in Amr's life. In Damascus, Khalid bin Walid breached. He got through. And then the commander who was in charge of Damascus, he sent an urgent message to Abu Ubaidah, goes, we will pay jizya. So he agreed. But when they entered the city again, Khalid is coming like a sandstorm from one side with his sword dripping with blood. Abu Ubaidah has come with peace. And they managed to secure the peace due to Abu Ubaidah. The same thing happened here. Zubair had breached them. So could they have done the same? They could. They probably applied the same tactic. But Amr ibn al-As, look how gracious he was. He could have said, no chance. But he graciously said, I accept. It seems clear from the various accounts, there was a main encounter outside, followed by a quick agreement to peace, knowing that the defences had now been breached by Zubair and his forces. Sayyidina Amr therefore graciously accepted their surrender and agreed to their payment of jizya. So this is the nuts and bolts. There's far more details, but we don't need to go too much into it. And just to add this to finish, adding details to the surprise attack at night, it is related in Ibn al-Athir in his Al-Qamil, volume 2, page 565, that Ardabun, the shaitan, with his 12,000 soldiers, schemed to catch the Muslims unaware. However, Amr was fully prepared, and the battle thus quickly broke out in full swing. So Ardabun on the fourth night. How many men has he got? 12,000. So don't get the impression just like a handful. He wanted to wipe the Muslims out with a surprise attack. But Amr obviously...
How many Muslims are there?
I'm going to get to that. But Amr radiallahu anhu was more than ready for the attack. The fighting was fierce. But subhanallah, the believers were victorious. The Romans suffered 1,000 casualties. 3,000 of them were also captured, amounting to a third of their entire force. 1,000 dead, 3,000 captured, 4,000, that means one third had been captured. Amongst the casualties, subhanallah, was the ever treacherous Ardabun. All praise be to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was thus most fitting that the Ardabun of the Romans lay dead now at the feet of the Ardabun of the Arabs. Radiallahu. Thus came to an end the ignoble life of one of the great enemies of Islam, who needlessly took the lives of many under his command. You know, he caused all these casualties. And you always get this. You always get one shaitan provoking the fire, and needless people die. That's why the Prophet said, letters to the rulers. He goes, the sins are upon you if you reject the letter. You're taking people to the hellfire. So Ardabun was one of them. But how symbolic that the fox of the Romans lay dead at the feet of the fox of the Arabs. Ahi Sayyidina Amr radiallahu. So all I mentioned today was the battle of Al-Faraba and the battle of Bilbis and the end of the infamous Ardabun. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? Subhana bi hamdihi subhanaka allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilaik wa atubu ilayhi wa subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asr inna salat fi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa asbihu haqq wa asbihu sabr sallallahu alaihi wa sallam.